Okay, we start on the Mishnah at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, "Amar l'shnayim gazalti l'echad mikem." Says to two people, "I stole from one of you two people." Maneh, maneh worth ve'eni odei ezim mikem. But I don't know which one of you two I stole from. Oh, aviv shel echad mikem ifkid li maneh, or one of your parents of you two gave me a maneh to watch. Ve'eni odei ezim. Again, I don't know which one gave me the money. Odein lazeh maneh or lazeh maneh. He has to give each one of them 100 zuz, shehodeh mipi atzmo, because he's the one who's admitting that there's a problem here. He's the one who's bringing us the issue to light. Shnayim shifkidu etzel echad. So two people who came and left by a shomer money to watch. One of them gave zemaneh v'zematayim. Right, so one of them left 100, one of them left 200 with him. Zomer shalimatayim, zomer shalimatayim. Each one of them says that the 200 belongs to me of that bundle. Notein lezemaneh lezemaneh. Give them the minimum claim that each of them must have, which is 100. And then, v'asher yeh munach hachiv aliyah, when the last 100 maneh will be left over until Eliyahu comes to be machriah, who it belongs to. Amar Rabbi Yossi, imkein ma'apsid ramai. So we saw this earlier in the Masechta. Right, Rabbi Yossi, then, there's no incentive for the ramai, the cheater, not to cheat. I mean, what's his downside? He gets 100. That's what he would have gotten anyway. So he only has upside here if the other guy doesn't make a claim. So Ela kol yeh munach ad shivo Eliyahu. Now leave the entire amount until Eliyahu comes, because if you do that, then there's downside to the individual who says the 200 belongs to me when it doesn't, because then he gets nothing. He'll be at his 100. So there's a risk to him making that claim. Chein shnei kelim echad yafeh maneh v'echad yafeh elav zuz. One's worth 100, one's worth 1,000. V'zomer yafeh shali, v'zomer yafeh shali. Each one of them claims the 1,000 belongs to them. Noten et ha-katan le-echad mehem. Give the katan to one of them. Umitoch ha-gadol noten dmei katan. And from the big one, you give the amount of the katan. The way I would have said it is that the sheni, that I would have said that is you sell the big one, and then out of the proceeds of the big one, you give it to the value of the small one to this individual. But the way Rashi reads it is that you actually break the big kli, and you pay a piece of the big kli, and you sell it off. And from that, you pay out the small kli. Assuming that the kli has to be some sort of precious metal, where there's value, inherent value in each piece, rather than as the whole, as a unit. Same din as we saw before, that the remainder, the differential between the small kli and the big kli, will be left until the time of Eliyahu. Again, what's the downside for the cheater? So that the Ramai also loses out. I mean, he gets nothing back, and therefore he has a disincentive for cheating, because then he'll lose out on his money as well. Okay, Gemara. Alma misveika mafkinan mimono. Okay, the conclusion from our Mishnah is that misafek, you are motzi mamon from someone. Why? In the first two cases in the Mishnah, speak about a case where an individual comes in and says that I stole money. I have no idea who I stole it from, and what do we compel him to do? We compel him to pay both individuals. That's a safek. And because it's a safek, we're now removing money from him. We're having him pay twice. V'lo amrinan uki mamon abechezkat marei. And we don't say, let the mamon stay where it is. Meaning that hamotz mechaver ala varaya. And since these other individuals have no ability to prove it, they don't even know about it beforehand, they can't prove that they are owed the money. So why doesn't the money stay with the individual who's supposed to pay it? Not really stay with him, but basically be shamur. Why does he have to actually pay out both parties here? Very many. Shnayim shifkidu itzel echad. What about the rest of our Mishnah? Two people who place it by one individual. Zemaneh v'zematayim. Zomer shalimatayim, zomer shalimatayim. Tena zemaneh v'zemaneh v'shoyim menachat shivaliyahu. So, the second half of our Mishnah indicates, what, that v'safek, we aren't mafkinan mamona. We don't say to the shomer, go pay 200 to each individual. Say they pay 100 to each individual, and the last 100 will be munachat shivaliyo. So it's almost an internal steer in the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah seems to indicate it's a fake, we're motzi mamon. Second half of the Mishnah says, when there's just a fake, we wait. We say munachat shivaliyo, we don't compel the shomer to make payment. Hey, pikadon, agezel, karamit. You're confusing cases. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about gezel. The second case in the Mishnah is talking about a pikadon. The din will be different between a pikadon and gezel. So he says, Gezel dava di suro kansur rabbonon. But Gezel, what he did in Isur, the rabbonon reconnaissance him that he has to be pay out on all parties. Pikadon dava di suro lo kansur rabbonon. And if it comes to Pikadon, where he didn't do anything wrong, right? He got the money was given to him, he didn't do anything wrong here. Therefore, the Rabbanim were not Kohen Tzur. I says, wait a minute. Rami Pigadon, a Pigadon. Rami Gezel, a Gezel.
But how come it's saying Amar Lay? There's no...
Right, I know, there's no... Right. I don't know why it says Amar Lay. Right, there was no... There's no question in the beginning to say Amar Lay.
No names.
Right. All right. So Rami Pigadon, a Pigadon. Rami Gezel, a Gezel. Pigadon, a Pigadon. Niktane, Reisha. Wait a minute. That's not so clear that the first half of our mission is all Gezel. And the second half of our mission is Pikadon. That's the way the Gemara wants to divide right now. But that's not so true. Because even in the first cases, we gave two scenarios. One scenario is what I stole from one of you two. The second scenario is one of your parents left a Pikadon with me. So that's a case of Pikadon. Right? So there's a Kani ratio. Oh, a Vipshala Kami, I'm going to get it. Venu de Isehu. I don't know which one. No ten la Zemane or la Zemane. So here's a case where it was Pikadon. And we're still compelling him to pay out. Both parties. Rimini, Shnaim Shivkidu, right? And that's the next case in our, the Seifa of our Mishnah, which says Shnaim Shivkidu, and over there we say only pay out 100, 100, and leave the other 100. So Amar Rava, Rava comes now to try to reconcile, explain the Mishnah this way. Reisha Naseh Kimesh Shivkidu Lo Mishnei Krichot, Tehavale the Medak. When it comes to the first half of the Mishnah, it was, it's as if it was given to him in two pieces. Right? Meaning that because it was given to him in two pieces, then he was obligated to discern or differentiate between who gave him what. So in this instance, only one party gave him. Since only one party gave him, he should have been aware, or he should be focused on whose money that he has. And here, when the issue comes up, and he says, I don't know whose money I have, the pshia is on his own behalf, because he did not discern who gave him the money. Seifa, the Seifa, on the other hand, is a case where they brought the money to him together. That he doesn't have to be careful. I mean, the fact that these two parties brought the money together, why? The two parties brought all the money together. He can say to them, you two aren't makbid on each other because you gave me all the money together. Ana kapid, no. Right, I should be concerned. If you guys weren't concerned, why should I be concerned about this issue? And Rashi points it out here when we say the Seifa. He says, Rashi says here, Afa gav velo krach echad havel. Even in a case where it's not one actual bundle. Not that he handed him one bundle of money, 300 zuz, and you know, what's 100 to 200, but not. But me, okay, when she kidu zebifne zeb. The fact is that even if they brought in two separate bundles, but they did it while the other person was there, right? The mere fact that you're present, right, when I gave over my money means that you know how much money I gave. So meaning that if you were not makpid to ensure that when the money was given to me that you kept that secret, so nobody else could come back and make the claim about the amount of money, that shows that you are not makpid, or you are not concerned about the nemanut of this other individual. So Rashi says it doesn't literally have to be that they were makpid together, but rather that the fact that they are makpid and have knowledge of each other's hafkada with this individual, that in and of itself is sufficient to tell you what? To tell you that they are not concerned about one or the other. Now the Gemara says, Virami gezel agezel. What about gezel gezel? The Ktani hocha. Our Mishnah says, "L'shnayim gazalti le'echad mekem." Amar l'shnayim gazalti le'echad mekem. Maneh, I stole a maneh from 100 from one of you two. Ven yodeh ze mekem. I don't know which one. Oh, v'yitzel le'echad mekem ifkiri li maneh ven yodeh. Izuhu noten la ze maneh uze maneh. So the conclusion for our Mishnah is that if you stole and you admit to have stolen, that you hand 100 to each individual, even though you only stole 100. So you're going out of pocket for 100. Yet, remain you. Right, we have this in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Gazal echad mechamisha. Person steals from one out of five people. Ve'en yodeh is a man gazal. Doesn't know which one he stole from. Zeh omer oti gazal, v'zeh omer oti gazal. Every one of them claims that it was they who were they stolen from. Me'niach gezela b'neim u'mistalek tibir rabbi tarfon. Tarfon says, just drop the money there and say, hasta la vista, you guys work it out between you. Now, of course, it doesn't mean literally that he drops the money there and leaves it there, because otherwise you haven't solved the problem, right? I mean, then everybody's going to fight it out. What it means that you leave the money means that you leave it based in, or you keep it until we get Beirur as to who the money belongs to. Just throwing the money there does not solve the problem. And each one of them takes 20 zuz. That's not a solution. And the solution is to find out who has the 100, and that won't be done until a later point, until there's admission or until Eliyahu Navi comes. So not that he drops the money literally, but he keeps it aside. Alma, from that case of Gazal Echad Mechamisha, we see that you don't take Mamon Misafek. And we say we leave the money with its owner. I mean, we don't force him to pay out 500 zuz. We don't ask him to pay a mana to each individual. We say he owes 100. He sets aside the 100. And that's sufficient. How do you know that was the Daz Rabbi Tarfon in Baba Kama? Who says that Rabbi Tarfon is the author of our Mishnah over here? How do you know the fact? Because the Tani Allah. Because it says on that Mishnah, Dahayim the Modeh Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon is Modeh, but Omer Lishnaim Gazalti Lechad Mikem Manet. If he says to two people, I stole from one of you, Veino Deze Mikem Shnotein Lazemaneh Lazemaneh. So Rabbi Tarfon is Modeh. In our exact case of our Mishnah, is Modeh. It says. So what's the difference? Why does Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of Gazal Chad Mechamisha, say put out 100 and you're done? Over here, when he admits to saying I stole from one of two people, he's got to pay out 100 to each of them. Where it says, Hotam the Kotovilit. Over there, they are being Toveya him. They are saying, each one of the five says, right, the Gezel Shali, Gazal Toti, you stole from me. I mean, they're being Toveya the Adam. Now, they have no Rayo. If they had a Rayo, then there would be no question here. But none of them have a Rayo. They all come up, five of them show up and say, listen, you owe me money. So he says, listen, I know I stole from one of you, but I have no idea which one. So he says, I'm not obligated to put out more than that money. Halacha, in our case, in our Mishnah is, our mission is that if you want to be Yotze de Shemayim, in that the fact that he came in Dekanami, Shehode Biatmo, that the fact is that he is, the admission is coming from him. At his own volition, he shows up in court and says, I owe one of these two people money, I just don't know which. So if that's his whole intent, his whole intention is to pay off the Gezel, then the only way to ensure that he's paid off the Gezel is to pay off both parties. So our mission is a case of where he's coming in voluntarily and saying, I want to rectify the problem. If I want to rectify the problem, I got to pay everybody out. The case in Baba Kama, there it's that claimants are coming to him. Five people are saying, listen, you owe me money. Pay up. And he says, listen, I know I owe one of you, but I don't know which one. I'm not going to pay all of you money. That doesn't, right? That's not my obligation over here. Now, the question here is in the Gemara's conclusion that it says that our Mishnah is Bavala Seit Yivei Shemayim. Then what do we do with the previous answer of Rava? Rabbi said it was when it came to the Pikadon, it was Bekrach Echad Ushtek Bichot. Right? He explained that the first half of our Mishnah is where it was as if there were two separate entities. Right? I mean that it was given in two packages, or he should have been able to discern. If he doesn't discern, then we put him on the hook and say, you got to pay it out. The second half, right, the Sefer of our Mishnah is talking about a case Bekrach Echad, but they come Echad Bifnats, Ben Sheni Sheni. Because they come with each other, we say they trust each other. Because they trust each other, then he says, it's not my problem. In the end, when the Gemara says, "Vabali de Seifi de Shemayim," do we say then that that's the difference between the Reish and the Seifa? I mean, does this answer then undo what Rava said before, or does it keep Rava's answer in place? Because now you can answer, the difference between the Reish and the Seifa by Pikadon is the same thing. When it's Vabali Seifi de Shemayim by Pikadon, we say, pay both parties out. When you have two claimants coming to him, both saying that you owe me 200, it's like the case in Baba Kama, which says, I don't have to pay you out, I have to pay 100, and I've taken care of it. So if that's the case, once we reach this conclusion of the Gemara, is Rava still standing, or has Rava been pushed aside and the Gemara has a new answer? So Tosfos claims over here that he thinks, right, that even though technically at this point in time we don't need Rava's answer, that the Gemara is still working with Rava's answer. That the Gemara does not check out Rava's answer and say no, but rather the Gemara keeps Rava's answer and then works and builds on top of that. So this answer is over and above what Rava said. Because he says, ah, if the law kamar ella, right? Usually when the Gemara wants to show that this answer supersedes a previous answer, what does it say? Ella. Ella means don't accept the previous answer, but rather this is the new answer. Right? The fact that it does not use the word ella here indicates that it's leaving whatever Rava said in place. Right? And then we're gonna see in a minute, the Gemara is gonna, it's on the Amud Bet, it's gonna seem to indicate that the Gemara is still working within the context of Rava. And therefore, Tosfos says, he says that the Kach Nirah, the Kulam Asnisin, Ari, Bebala Deit Tzeit Yidei Shemayim. The whole Mishnah is a case of Latzeit Yidei Shemayim. The Kach Bereisha, Darlein Meidak. So in the Reisha, like Rava says, where he should have been discerning, Nabtein Lezemaneh, Lezemaneh, Bebala Deit Tzeit Yidei Shemayim. If you want to be Yotzei Yedei Shemayim in the Reisha, right, then if you should have been discerning, we say to you, pay out all parties. The Seifa, the Bekach Echad, but when they gave him to in one package, came into Lahavale to Medak, Afilu Bavale take Yishemayim Enu Chayav. Tosu says that even in the Seifa, when you bought the day, say to Yedei Shemayim, right, everybody. Right, that's the answer according to Tosus. I mean that you could have again separated between the Reisha and Seifa of our mission. Say the Reisha is let's take Yedei Shemayim and the Seifa is not. Because that's the Lashon, the Reisha, he's admitting to it. The Seifa, there's a claim against him by the two parties. You could have read it, split it that way. Tosus says no. The Gemara does not use Ella to upend Rabbis, but says Rabbis in place. And they, let's take Yedei Shemayim about our entire Mishnah. And Baba Kama is all a case of Toveya. So if the case of the Yedei Shemayim and our Mishnah, why do you differentiate between Reisha and Seifa? The answer is Havale the Meidak and Lo Havale Meidak. And that if you should have been discerning, then the Yedei Shemayim, you're obligated to pay out both parties. In a case where you are not, there was no obligation for you to be Meidak, then even let's say Yedei Shemayim, you have no obligation to pay out both parties. You don't have to pay one of the parties, or put the money in Munach
Hashvalei.
So that you don't have the gezel in your hand anymore, that you've taken
and
care of.
Like in the first case, you go to Beit Din, says, Amal Shnayim Bezati, and one of that, I don't know who. Here, here's one maneh, giving it to court, this is what I stole.
And he has not been Meshiva to Gzeilah, she puts up. He hasn't accomplished that. He's removed the gezel from his possession, but he hasn't returned it to its proper owner. So once we say the Yishmael, Meshiva to Gzeilah, she puts up, he's got to return it.
It's Mekaladin.
I mean, technically, it's Lefim Mishur Tadin because he's paying more than he ever stole. That is Lefim Mishur Tadin. On the other hand, like what you're saying, if he wants to accomplish returning of the Gezel, then he has to do this. It's the only way he can accomplish that mitzvah, right? So I think it's a mix of both because he has to overpay in order to accomplish the mitzvah that he needs to do. And we can't be a machriach. I mean, if you took him to court, we couldn't force him to pay both parties. Right, so now Mark continues. Amar Mar. Right, so what happens? Over there, right, this is the question you were having, David. Okay, they claim against him, you stole from us. Five guys show up and say, each one says, you stole from us. What's his response to them? Right, so it's clear that the Mishnah doesn't have a response. In Baba Kama, there is no response. So now the Marayim are indicating what the response is. Reviewed on Marav, Hala Shotik. He's silent. Right, Ramat Amar, Hala Soveach. He's screaming. I mean, obviously, what does he scream? He says that I'm only chayav one of you. I mean, he's not screaming, I own nobody,
unless
right?
He says something else.
Right. He says, I don't know any of you guys.
Any of you.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know which one it is. I don't know who you are. I know I stole. I don't know who the real party is. The one who says that he's denying the claim here. If he was silent, that would be acquiescence. Over here, shtika is not hodah. Why? I was silent to each one of them. Damina, Dilma, hi, who? I have no idea whether you are or not the right party. I just don't know.
Right?
I can't say you're not the one. I don't have a definitive claim against you. So get it out. Amar Mar. Meniach gzeila b'nehem u'mistalek. That he leaves the gzeila there and he walks away. V'shakulei kulu v'azle. They take it and go. V'amar Rabbi Abba Barzav d'amarav. Kol safei kinuach. When it comes to a Savei Kinuach, what's the case of a Savei Kinuach? We had this earlier in the Gemara, that's an Avedah. An Avedah, which is lying by the side of the road. It has no Simanim. The Avedah has no Simanim, but it's in a Makom. It's somewhat Mishtamer. It's not completely Mishtamer, but somewhat Mishtamer. So now what the problem? The problem is if you pick it up, it's all over. Once you, according to Rashi, if you pick it up, there's no way the Balim are getting the item back again, because the Balim have no Simanim. There's no way for them to get it back. So now, we tell you, if a case is Savei Kinuach, lechatchila lo yitol, don't pick it up. Because once you've picked it up, you've almost ensured that the Balim will never get it back. At least if you leave it here, there's a chance that the Balim will come back, because it's somewhat mishtamer. And if it's somewhat in a location that seems to be intentionally placed there, then we say leave it so that the Balim will come back and claim it. Vim natal, once you've taken it, lo yachzir. Then you can't return it, obviously you can't return it because you stay with it. Because you can't, there's no simanim on it. No simanim on it, the claimant can't come and get it from you. The Rashi points out over here, not that im lo yachzir, you have permission to use it now, but lo yachzir means that you're going to have to keep it aside and can't do anything with it. You have to hold on to it until Yavio comes. It's not his. Because you took it inappropriately. Because you're not supposed to pick this item up. The fact that you picked it up, already is an Isur. Therefore, it'll stay in your hand until this person shows up. Either the person shows up with Edim, or we have a that say that he left it in this location, because the only Siman for him now is location. So he has to bring Edim that he left it in that location, or right, until the Yom Nevi comes. So in this case over here, why is he putting down the money in between these five people? In that he has five people here who claim that he's stolen. He says, yes, I have the money. And it's as if he's taking an Aveda, that's a fake, and he throws it all in front of them. He says, have a party. Use it. Why should he give it back? He should keep it. He should be Shomer and Nevo Leo. Amrav Safra doesn't mean when we say Benes, he says, when we say Meniach Gazela Benem or Mista Lake, we don't mean that he literally puts it down. Vianiach. He takes the money and he puts it aside for Eliyahu and Navi. He doesn't give the money to anybody. He doesn't lay it out in front of them. He puts it aside. He gives it to the court. And Yavo Eliyahu. It's not that literally he gives it back to them. Okay, I'm going to buy the Rava.
Even though the Lashon over there is Miniyah Gizela Benehem.
Right.
So it replaces those three words with Beniyah.
I can see it. I don't think it's so far-fetched to explain the case that way. Maybe the Gemara was taking it literally up front, which presented a problem. So he says, oh, don't take it literally. Be'aniach means that, set it aside for until the time of Eliyahu. I'm going to buy the Rovo. Mi Amar Rabbi Akiva. Did Rabbi Akiva say, Lo zu aderech mutziato bidei abeira, ad sheyishalem gzila l'chol echad v'chad. Right? Is Rabbi Akiva really say this, the fact that he argues on Rabbi Tarfon in the Gemara in Baba Kama, which we saw, that Rabbi Tarfon says, Echad v'chamisha, leave the money and you walk. Rabbi Akiva's response there in the Gemara to Rabbi Tarfon is, that's not the way that you solve the problem. Because you still haven't been Beshivat the Gzela Asher Gazal. It's true. They've taken Gzela out of your possession, but you still haven't solved the problem of getting Gzela back to the Nigzal.
Only if you're not interpreting it like Rabbi Safran. In which case, you're not even taking it out of your possession.
Right, well, even Rav Safra, when he set it aside already, that's classified because you're not using it anymore. You've set aside the Gzeilah, that's classified as if you... Right, exactly. Say the Chod. Alma, so if this is Rabbi Kiva's statement, Mispeikah Machkinah Memona. Right, then, from Misafek, going to Rabbi Kiva, we're going to take out 100 zulus from each one of three you to pay to each one of these five. Why don't we say, listen, where these guys don't have no raya that he stole from them, why should we take money out and pay each one of them? Very many, right? Is that really true? This is the position of Rabbi Kiva. Not followed by the love. It's a case where a house collapsed on a son and a mother. So now, if you have two possibilities, the son died first or the mother died first. If the mother dies first, the son inherits the mother. The son inherits the mother, then the son's relatives, which is basically through his father, his brothers through his father, all his relatives through his father, now will inherit both the son's possessions and the mother's possessions. On the other hand, if the son predeceases the mother, then the mother's possessions remain with her, and they will go back to her family. Meaning that the mother's family will then be Yoresh, her possessions. On the other hand, whatever the son had, aside from his mother's possessions, that will be divided up between the Achim. So over here we have a house that fell down on both of them. We're just not sure who died first in this case. So now what happened? Nabo by Talav Yalimo, Yoshea ben Omrim. The inheritors of the son are saying, meaning that his brothers through his father, Haim Beit HaRishona. They, of course, say that the mother died first because that's to their benefit. And those that inherit the mother, Omrim, Haben Beit Rishon. That the son died first because the son dies first, and whatever the mother owned remains in her possession. Elu Beilu Modim. Now, over here, Elu Beilu Modim, according to Rashi, it's very interesting. According to Rashi, it says, Elu Beilu Modim means we're talking about here a case of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Right, Elo El Modim Shiachloku, that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel over here agree that you divide it up. There's no way to determine over here. It's a safek legamrei. Every local, but Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says Moda Ani Bezu Shenechasim Bechazkatan. Rabbi Akiva says I admit in this case that the Nechasim stay Bechazkatan, that they stay wherever the Chazaka is, whatever that means. It's not the issue of our Gemara. Whatever it means that the Nechasim stay in Bechazkatan, the difference between Betzon HaBarzel and Nechasim Malug, right, the Gemara discusses what's considered Bechazkatan. But what do you see from Rabbi Akiva clearly? That Misafek, we don't remove money. That we say that it's Omed Bechazkatan, and we don't remove the money. So now, there are two things. One is that when it says Rabbi Akiva Modeh, what does it mean that he admits in this case? So Rashi claims over here, it's an interesting right. Rashi says that when Rabbi Akiva says Modeh, Ani Mizeh, Apo Pish, Ani Mibshel Beit Shammai. And the Rabbi Akiva says, I'm a Talmid of Beit Shammai, and I hold by the Shita Beit Shammai. Over here, I say it differently. So even though in Shar Nefilot and other types of Sefekot like this, I would say divide it. In this case, I'm Mudah the Beit Hillel that the Nechassim B'Chezkatan. That's the way Rashi comes. But that indication from Rashi, or implication from Rashi, is that Rabbi Akiva belongs to Beit Shammai, that he's one of the Talmidim of Beit Shammai. Tosfos is not willing to accept that. Since that's not the case, Rabbi Akiva is not one of the Talmidim of Beit Shammai. Right? Because we see in other places that, by Tzara Tabat in Yevamot, that Rabbi Akiva holds like Beit Hillel, not like Beit Shammai. So who says that he's a Talmid of Beit Shammai? So what does it mean that over here, Modeh? Because he says it's just a continuation of the right of the Brisa, because it says, Elu velu modim shiachloku. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, Amar Rabbi Akiva modeh ami. So the Lashona modeh is just playing on the modim that was in the previous statement of the Mishnah, but not that literally he's admitting that I belong to Beit Shammai and over here I'm agreeing to Beit Hillel. No. Modeh ami means that I believe the Halacha is this way in this case, not that otherwise I believe like Beit Shammai. So Tosfos is not willing to accept that Rabbi Akiva is one of the Talmidim of Beit Shammai. So now we have a problem, because in this case, Rabbi Akiva says, basically, Cheskatan, Omeid Cheskatan, which is Monsubi Chaber Ala Baraya, if you want to move it from where the Mamon is, the Cheskatan Mamon, you have to bring evidence. In the case of Chazal Chadmi Chamisha, we see that Rabbi Akiva says, pay them all out. And we take money out, even though there is no Rayo that the money should be taken out. Where it says, Amalei, Hotam Shema B'Shema. So over there, it's a Shema B'Shema case. Gazal Chadmi Chamisha, Bari B'Shema. Depends. In the case of the Ben and the mother, or the son and the mother, nobody has a definitive claim over here. Why does nobody have a definitive claim? Because nobody knows. There's no way anybody has the information about who died first, the mother or the father. It's all speculation. So the Yorshim and the mother show up, and they have a Shema claim. They say, I think, you know, they basically say, I think the son died first, or the son died first. And the Yorshim Ben say, no, the mother died first. But they can't make a definitive claim. They can only say Shema, but by definition, they don't have the information. The other case, by Echad Mechamisha, we have a Bari and Shema. Each one of the five parties that shows up says, I was stolen from you, stole from me. That's a Bari claim. And he could make such a claim. Because, whereas the Shema, the respondents, right, the defendant is saying, I don't know. I don't know which one of you I stole from. I don't know who it is that I stole from. I don't recognize any of you. Whatever the case is, but that's the case of Bari and Shema.
It's a funny case of Bari and Shema, because usually when you have to go to Shema, CSA, you give more weight to the verdict, because the chances are, he's sure of it. Here you know that four out of the five Baris are false.
Right.
So
it's not a Tovea, each claim is a Bari and Shema.
Right.
But the
question itself. Right. Well, so we've seen that before, that we don't look at the totality of the situation. Like, for instance, with the Poalim and the Balabait and the Chenbani.
Yeah.
We force the Balabait to pay out both to the Poalim and to the Chenbani, even though we know in toto that for sure there's somebody lying over here, and for sure he's out money. Because we know for sure he can't be paying, he can't owe both of them. Everybody agrees in this case, that nobody, and we still make him pay out. We look at each case individually. So in that case, we don't look at the total picture. We look at each right, litigation separately. And each litigation, we say there's a Bari B'Shem and you have to pay it out. All right, now, Bahamas Nisan, the Hacha. What about our Mishnah? Now you're running into a problem. Why? Our Mishnah is a case of Shema B'Shema. Amar L'Shnayim Gazaltu L'Echad Mekem Maneh B'Shema B'Shema Hu V'Tani Noten L'Zeh Maneh L'Zeh Maneh. That blows this explanation. Because now, our Mishnah, which we're going to try to set up like Rabbi Akiva as well, not just like Rabbi Targum, but like Rabbi Akiva as well, because we know that Allah and Rabbi Akiva make chabebo. That means that the Zamechokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Targum, Allah is like Rabbi Akiva. So we're going to want this Mishnah to work according to Rabbi Akiva as well. So if that's the case, now what did our Mishnah say? It's a case of Shem Hashem. He says, I don't know who I took it from. And the other party say, you know, they don't even know. They didn't even know that there was a claim to start with. So of course there is Shema. Over here, Shem Hashem, we're forcing him to pay out to all parties. It says, Mimai, Rabbi Akiva. How do you know that Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah? So we're saying, wait a minute, maybe this is Rabbi Targum in our Mishnah. So he says, Diktoni Allah, Tahaihi, because we have on this Mishnah, Modeh Rabbi Targum, Bo'omer Lishnaim, Gazalti Lechad Mikem, Maneh, Venu Dez Mikem, right? The Man Modeh. When we saw in the previous Talmud that we said Rabbi Targum has to agree to our Mishnah because Rabbi Targum agrees that the case of our Mishnah is true. But who's he being Modeh to? I mean, who's the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Tarfon that Rabbi Tarfon is being molded to? Must be, what? Rabbi Akiva Bar Plukta. If he's being molded, that means that he's agreeing to Rabbi Akiva, which means that Rabbi Akiva also holds of this position, or Rabbi Akiva is agreeing to whatever the conclusion of our Mishnah is. Where it says, Umimai the Shem of Shemahu. How do you know that our Mishnah is a case of Shem of Shemahu? You could fix the case that it's not a Shem and Sheva case, right?
That's what we said all the time,
right.
So that they don't claim anything.
Right. So, Chado, one is, like you're saying, David, that there's no claimant over here. It's that he's coming and admitting, by his own volition, voluntarily admitting, that there's a problem here. So the mere fact that there aren't tovim means that it's really basically got to be a Shema case. Vod, ha'atani Reb Chiya. We have a brisa from Reb Chiya. Zeh omer ini yodea, zeh omer ini yodea. That means in the brisa, that is the equivalent of our Mishnah, the brisa of Reb Chiya, includes zeh ini yodea, which is explicit that there is, right, that there's no definitive claim here that there's a Shema and Shema. So Gemara says, how kimno? We already set up our case in the Mishnah, kimno la abba valet zeh yidei shamayim. Then we already say our Mishnah is a din of valet zeh yidei shamayim. So therefore, according to Rabbi Kiba, you'll have basically three situations. There are three different cases. Bari and Shema, you're obligated min adin to pay out to all parties. That's the case of Echad Mechamisha. Case of Shema v'Shema, case where there is no definitive claim, then you keep the money, or Bechez Katan, they stay Bechez Katan. But in the case of Shema v'Shema, if it's Bali Dei Zitzei Tidei Shemayim, then you're going to have to pay out to all parties in the case of Shema and Shema. Obviously, in the case of the Ben and the mother, there is no Letzei Tidei Shemayim. Like there, it's a Shem and Shema, it's information that's missing. It's not that there's an issue of being Letzei Tidei Shemayim, we'll never know. And there's no Letzei Tidei Shemayim, so there we say, you know, Bechez Katan. Right.
Kiva states his position to begin with. You get the feeling, really, it's the Shemayim also, because he says
Gemara Baba Kama does discuss the fact that it could be let's say the day Shemayim. Gemara Baba Kama deals with that issue, but it seems this the way Gemara Baba Kama sees reading is that this is Mikra Din. The Machlus Dino Ritarfen Rabbi Kiva is Mikra Din. Even though I agree with you, his language sounds like, you know, if you really want to solve the problem here, this is the way to solve the problem. All right. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, Mi Amar Rava Kol B'Shtei Krichot Avalei Meidak. Right now, again, this is what Tosfos quoted on the previous Amud to show you that the Gemara has not given up Rava's statement. When the Gemara says it switched to, let's say, Yidei Shemayim, which could have answered all the problems in the Mishnah, the Gemara could have left Rava behind. What's clear here from the Gemara here is that they're asking, does Rava himself really hold of this position? But what you see from here is that the Gemara still believes that Rava is still relevant to the Mishnah over here. Everybody agrees with two people bring property to a ro'eh, that you bring the animals to them and you drop it off and say, you know, here, take it. They placed it into his flock without his knowledge. So what's going over here? What is the case by the ro'eh? You have two parties who show up, right, and they each give over, so they each give over sheep for the Ro'eh to watch. So Rashi says, why is it Shtei Krichot? Why is it automatically Shtei Krichot when you give over animals to the Ro'eh? Says, Rashi says, Hatam Shtei Krichot Ninu, Vafilu Hifkidu Zeh B'Pnei Zeh. Even if they do it together, it's still classified as two Krichot. Why? Because Zeh Dvar Anirahu. Maybe Be'achad, maybe Be'shnayim. That's, when it comes to money, nobody knows how much money you gave to the Shomer, because you can put it in your pocket, you can hide it. And therefore, only when I give it in front of the other individual is he going to have knowledge about the fact of how much money I gave over. So if he has no knowledge of what I gave over, right, then I would say it's considered to be, you have to be a Meidak. On the other hand, if he has knowledge about the money, and you could have given it to him without knowledge, but the mere fact that you did it in front of him is indicative of the fact that you trust the other party. Otherwise, why are you giving it? You could have given it to him at a separate time without the other knowledge of the other party. He would never know how much money he gave over.
Just give it in the purse.
Right, or you give it hidden in some way that he doesn't know how much money he's been given. The fact that you didn't hide it indicates that you're not worried about it. On the other hand, when it comes to objects like animals, right, there's no way to hide the fact of how many animals you gave over to the Ro'eh. Hey, yeah, you're walking down the street, everybody's going to know how many animals you gave over, and if he has the Ro'eh, he goes out.
And even if you put them in a big box, you'll hear two.
At least two. I'm sorry, you can come up with these crazy scenarios where he brings it, you know, he delivers it. But, and yet, Rashi's saying that by mere fact that there's no way to hide this information, then even when you give it before the other person, the Ro'eh has to assume that they're a makpid. He has to assume that they're makpid because giving it in front of the other person is not indicative of a lack of hakpada. That's what Rashi says. That's why it's considered a case over here. Tosfos in the other case over here does not like Rashi's explanation, and rather he says that filu hifkilu tolem zevif nezeh. He comes to the same conclusion as Rashi, but he says that even if they give tolem zevif nezeh, but like the meidak the lo shech the meimar atun lo k'tvinon mishum the lo yichlu the takein. There's no way to fix it. That filu hifkilu shev v'shlo bif nezeh. Your ech haveru atolem k'sholchim b'mir'eh v'shlo mishal mihem. What is he going to do? It's not like but what Rashi says is that right. Rashi says that there's knowledge when you show up. There's knowledge about how many animals you're dropping off at the roulette. So it says that doesn't have to be the case. You could get into the roulette with the other guys not there. You wouldn't see how many animals you brought. But rather, you'll see the roulette carrying animals around. I mean, that you'll see him being his flock out there, and you'll say, oh, they're grazing. You'll say, whose animals are those? Well, yeah, I got five of this guy, I got five of this guy. And the roulette is going to disclose the information. Because it's not information that is, quote unquote, private. I mean, as opposed to if somebody comes over and says, how much money do you have with the other guy? That's information that he's not going to disclose. That's not information that's relevant even to the other party. Here he says, oh, look, I see you're grazing out there. Who you got out there? Oh, can I give you two more? Then he'll tell him the information is not information that's classified as private. So Tosfos says, because you can get the information from the roeh, therefore the roeh has to assume that everybody is makpid, because the mere fact that you have the information is not enough. Again, like Rashi says, the mere fact that you have the information is not enough to show that you're not makpid. Because the balim assume that the information is going to be public anyway. And there's no way to hide it. I mean, this isn't this isn't a Swiss bank account. You can't hide this from can't hide these types of property from other individuals. All right. So now, what's the answer? Right. The answer is that you put it there shalom idato. Obviously, it's a lot darker than you put it there shalom idato. Meaning that you don't give it bereyato shel roeh. Right, that he didn't see it when you put it there. Doesn't mean he doesn't know you put it there. Yeah, you just tell him. I tell him I'm putting three in your flock. That he visibly sees what you put in. He says, I'm putting three in the flock. Because then he doesn't have to be makpid. The fact that you don't insist that the roeh see exactly what you're putting in there and when you're putting it in there means that you're not so makpid on the number and that you trust the situation. Right? Because you're not being careful. If you really wanted the roeh to be meidak, you'll bring it to him. You'll show him these are the three I'm putting in. These are my three, you know. And you would ensure that he's going to return you the three. The fact that you put him in there and say, call him up the next day and say, you know, I left three with your flock over there, that's not a recipe for getting back your animals without a matter of trust, meaning that you're not asking him to be so makpid on your delivery.
It seems like a weird case, because if you have animals, I mean, each animal is different. You think that, first of all, they're marked as your animals, and that you would be makpid. That you don't want to just say, I'm giving you three animals to watch, and I'll take any three animals back.
Right.
I mean, you know, I
agree. Like you said, they call up, they have five, two guys call him up and say, listen, I dropped off three the day before. The other guy says, I dropped off two the day before. So Roe knows he has five extra animals in there, and he knows the five don't belong to him, they belong to these two guys who call him. Right. Well, he knows which five. So he knows which five belong to these parties. But he doesn't know, and of those five, he has no idea which two belong to which, or three belong to which.
Right, that I understand.
Right, so that's the case here.
But even the five, like, how does he know?
I think it's less concerning that how does he discern. The question is, how does he discern who owns those five, the division of those five? And I think that if they weren't makpid to show him exactly the three when they put it in, rather they call him up the next day, two other guys could have done the same thing, then you're obviously not so made up on ensuring that it gets back to you. Alright, now. Why do I need both cases of the mission? I have a case of the money, and I have a case of the kelim. Why do I need both cases? If I had only had the case of the money, there is no loss here. Why? Because money is divisible. Money is divisible, then there's no loss, because I can take 100 money, 100 money, and leave 100 money, and nobody's out. Any, in the sense of the division, it doesn't detract from the value. On the other hand, if I'm bahad, you can say the... Over here, there is a loss of gadol. Again, because the way Rashi indicates the split is that he actually breaks the gadol to pay out the katan. And again,
this is probably why Rashi has to explain it.
Right, I think Rashi must explain it that way. Although I think he could explain it that he has to sell out the big one and then give the money. I mean that the big one is lost now. I mean that yes, the value is captured, but the kli itself is gone. And I think that might be the way to explain it.
Instead of saying, "That's some of your loss. You have the value."
That is the loss. That you can't get this kli back again. You might have retained the value, but this kli was unique, and you can't get the kli back because now you sold the kli to get the value out of the kli. So I think you could have explained the case that way. Rashi doesn't take that approach, and I agree with you because of this Gemara. So as I got, they broke it. So Ema Modilei Rabbi Yosi. Maybe they would agree to Rabbi Yosi in that case. V'if Mar Baha, if only in the case of kli, Baha Kamar Rabbi Yosi. Over there, Rabbi Yosi says, "What? Don't give back because you have to break the big kli." Oh, Baha. In the case of money, Amen Modele the Rabbanim, you'll agree the Rabbanim, since it is divisible, maybe we should do it. Or I said, Tzricha. Or I says, wait a minute, that makes no sense. Why? What's the whole reasoning of Rabbi Yossi? The whole reasoning of Rabbi Yossi is that time the Rabbi Yossi Mishum Hefsid or Ramayhu. That he wants to cause a loss to the cheater over here. Why should it matter whether you're breaking the big kli, whether you're dividing money? He would never agree to the Rabbanan's position because he wants the Ramay to suffer a loss. The only way to have him suffer a loss is not to give it back. So Gemara says you're right. It says, right, Ela Tavayru le Rabbanan. You need the Tzricha for the Rabbanan because the Rabbanan might have been molded to Rabbi Yossi in the case of the kli. True. If they had written the case of Kli first, then you wouldn't have to write the case of the money, because it would have been obvious that they're abundant thinking in the money case. But the fact that the Mishnah wrote money first, it says Lozu, but Abzu, even by a case of Kli, they still hold their position of the fact that you divide it up and you give each one a money, or you give each one a money, and then you keep the rest of the Kli, as you boil the yolk. Okay, we'll stop over here.